Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, we've had lots of reaction into the item we did on smoking earlier. One caller in touch to say, I'm an avid anti-smoking person, but $23 billion, that was the settlement in America. He says it's a ridiculous award. Don't we all have a responsibility to decide on good health practices? Let's start blaming ourselves for our bad choices if we're not unthinking morons. That's one caller. Another, smokers have paid loads in tax already. Why treat them so badly? They too have rights. Tom says, won't no branding on packages make it easier for the black market importers? Another person says, my best friend died in his mid-50s. He was a heavy smoker and his lungs were destroyed. What would the pro-smoking lobby have to say about that? And lots more callers in on that. We've also had a few people in on school uniforms saying it looks very odd in photos when everybody has their crest sewn in different positions. Better not to have one at all. That's Stephen who says that. Anyway, we're staying with Consumer News and I am joined now by Conor Brophy. Conor, what you have done is compiled a list of the most valuable and often the least known protections afforded to Irish consumers under law. So this is kind of a guide to how to get your rights.
That's right. And it's amazing just how much power you actually have as a consumer when you start looking at the various legislative provisions that are in place. And a lot of this has been codified now from EU law that's been handed down. And it does seem like you've got quite a wide arsenal of remedies at your disposal when service or when a product falls below what your expectations should be or when something goes wrong.
So if you go in and you shout at the shop assistant and you don't get what you want, don't give up is really what you're saying.
Not that we're encouraging people to go and verbally assault sales assistants. But no, I mean, at a basic level, the starting point here is what's called the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, which actually has changed very little since the 19th century, believe it or not, when it was originally codified. It dates from 1893. There was an update in 1980. And then, as I say, there's been quite a few EU regulations and directives which have been codified into Irish law or transposed into Irish law. And between them, they govern, firstly, what your basic, the core principles being that anything that you buy should be fit for purpose and of merchantable quality. Those might be phrases that people will have heard before in discussions on consumer rights. So in other words, the thing needs to do what it's supposed to do. It needs not to be broken and it needs to be of merchantable quality. So, for example, if you're buying clothes, they shouldn't be shabby or have threads hanging off them or be dusty or whatever. And if they are, if they fall below that basic standard, there are, I think, the five R's of the way they're described by the National Consumer Agency. These are the remedies that are available to you. So you're entitled to either a refund in some cases. You're entitled to rescind or repudiate the contract, depending on how badly you've been let down. You're entitled to a repair or you're entitled to a replacement. So those are the basic things that you're entitled to. One thing
that's quite a big difference, isn't there, between a refund, a replacement, or a repair? Mm. I mean, do you have the right to go in and say, I insist on getting a refund?
It depends on the circumstances. And this is where there's a slight grey area because it depends on what's reasonable. And that's the legal standard that's applied. If you were ultimately, if all else failed and you ended up in court over this one, you on one side and the retailer or the service provider on the other, the judge would make the call based on what seems reasonable in the circumstances. So if you buy something that, you know, is otherwise in perfect condition, but maybe, you know, slightly dirty or might have a stain on it, and the retailer offers, look, I'll get it dry clean and get it back to you, and you turn that down, in the circumstances, that might not be considered reasonable by you. If there isn't a replacement handily on standby, or if they offer you, you know, a remedy that seems reasonable in the circumstances and you turn it down, then it might not go in your favour. But, and this is a key point that maybe a lot of us don't understand, you have a lot of power in terms of the remedies that you choose. So you're also entitled in many circumstances not to accept what's offered to you and to accept or push for an alternative remedy instead. And that is actually in Irish law as a result of the EU regulations that have been transposed over the past couple of years. That, for example, if you had a mobile phone that wasn't working or after a week or two out of the shop wasn't working and clearly is within guarantee, if you bring it back to the shop and they offer to repair it, but they say, well, we will have it back to you in 5 or 6 weeks, then, you know, that's not necessarily reasonable in the circumstances. You're probably perfectly entitled there to push for a replacement instead. And I suppose a lot of it is behind, and we all know that Irish people tend to be terribly on the Asher, it's grand side of things rather than pushing for their rights. You know, you do have quite a lot of legislative backup if things go wrong. So I suppose the core message from a lot of that legislation is that you shouldn't be afraid to be pushy, and that ultimately if push comes to shove, you do have an awful lot of rights to fall back on.
Do retailers know about your rights? I mean, are retailers cooperating with consumers, or do they tend to just go, listen, this is what I'm offering you, take it?
Well, that's a very good point. And a lot of the time that there is a misunderstanding there, and I know it's something, again, that the National Consumer Agency have been publishing documentation about recently. They've done a big drive to try and educate traders, as they term it, on when conditions in contracts, for example, and when conditions of sale are fair and when they're unfair. And again, there's an awful lot of legislative provision made for these things. And it does seem like there are quite a lot of situations where misunderstandings arrive simply because the seller doesn't necessarily understand that you do have the right to push for, as you were saying, a replacement or a complete refund in certain circumstances, and they're actually breaking the law by denying you that right.
Mm. It's another thing we've seen recently is that many retailers go beyond what they have to do. I mean, you know, most high street stores now, you can return things, no questions asked, and get a full refund. I mean,
yeah, this is a pattern in our house. I noticed the purchases come back are kind of looked at in front of the mirror and decided, no, I'm not having that. I've seen things go back to some shops 5 or 6 times.
Yeah,
there wasn't necessarily an entitlement to a complete replacement.
Buying them, wearing them out, and then bringing them back and getting a full refund.
Just because I don't like how it looks isn't necessarily, you know, the best reason in the world to get something replaced. But, you know, as you say, some shops are more than willing to
do
that.
Talk me through the procedures then. I mean, if you are in trouble with something, if you feel you're not getting your consumer rights, what's the first step?
Your first port of call is... is there a recognised guild, or is there an arbitration procedure? And these are few and far between. But for example, if you're talking about a car that you bought, and you bought it from, say, a member of the Society of the Irish Motoring Industry, or SIMI, as a lot of the, you know, car sellers will be part of SIMI, they have an arbitration procedure themselves. So if you feel that the seller isn't giving you the satisfaction you deserve, you can go to them at first port of call. That's a fairly rare exception, though. In most instances, what you're talking about is the small claims procedure at the district court. You pay €25 for that up front. So in certain circumstances, if the goods obviously aren't up to the value of €25 or what you're looking for, it has to take account of the fact that you're going to lose that €25 because it's non-refundable. Even if you do win your case, it might not be worth your while. But from 25 up to, and the total value covered by the small claims procedure is up to €2,000. So you could be talking anything up to a fairly expensive piece of consumer electronics here. You go to the registrar of the district court, or the clerk, as they're sometimes called, depending on the circumstances. They will at first instance actually attempt to negotiate on your behalf. A lot of these claims are actually settled before they ever get to a hearing, so that's something that's well worth remembering. It might be worth spending the €25 and going to the district court clerk to see if that can sort it out, because it could be a bit of a wake-up call
get in touch with the retailer or the tradesperson involved.
The interest here is that they hope that it'll be fast and expedient. They don't want to tie things up in litigative knots, so at first instance they will actually try and come to some sort of solution. If that doesn't happen, you go to a hearing. It's not, you know, matlock stuff, you know. It's not a full formal court hearing. There is a judge that's going to decide on the basis of the evidence that you present and the evidence that the retailer presents, who's in the right, who's in the wrong. As I say, the reasonableness test is the key thing to bear in mind here. Who's being reasonable in the circumstances and what they're looking for. The win rates, though, are quite high for consumers, believe it or not. It's over 50% of those claims in the district court tend to come down on the side of the consumer. So it is a pretty effective mechanism. In fact, the number of claims that have been made under it have been falling, though, over the past couple of years, which I suppose is a symptom of the fact that there just isn't as much retailing activity going on. Perhaps people just don't feel it's worth their while to spend €25.
Retailers are getting better at dealing with customer complaints themselves.
That's quite possible as well. Yeah, maybe they are sorting a lot more of them out at first instance, because it's really not worth the hassle of being dragged through the procedure when you could have just sorted it out at point of sale.
Is there, I mean, I think many people listening will go, oh God, the court, go to court over, you know, a faulty vacuum cleaner, bad dress, or whatever, or indeed a mobile phone contract. Is it daunting? Would you advise people to
bother with it? The idea is that it's not, and it's a much less formal setting than a court. You represent yourself and you don't need to get solicitors involved and do all that sort of thing. It's supposed to make people comfortable. It's supposed to be a procedure to stop things getting out of hand and to stop it getting to the stage where you're going to bring in a solicitor and it all gets very full on. The whole idea is that it's not intimidating. So it's worth encouraging people to take a look at it in those situations. And that's what the NCA would advise that a lot of people do if you get to that stage where you can't simply sort it out face to face. If for no other reason that, as you were saying there, the court clerk will try and intervene and will try and sort it out before it even gets to a hearing. So it might not ever even get to that point.
Briefly, Conor, it's the time of year. We're all off on our holidays. You have some advice on flight delays and cancellations.
Flights are delayed or cancelled. Again, a lot of EU power behind you here. If you're travelling with an EU carrier, even if you're originating from outside the EU, if you're landing here, for example, and your flight's delayed by 3 hours or more, you're entitled to compensation. Now, there's a form-filling exercise that needs to be gone through. You can find that form on the europa.eu site. That's the European Commission's website. It's a passenger travel rights form that you're looking for. It's a six-page
document. And 3 hours, I mean, that's a common enough delay, you'd have to
say. It's not
and
inconceivable.
You will get money.
And the amounts involved there are between €250 and €600, depending on the on how big the delay was and depending on the distance you're travelling. So that's worth bearing in mind.
Yeah.
You can certainly compensate you for the hassle of being slightly delayed, well, slightly more than 3 hours delayed.
Well, listen, Conor Brophy, thank you very much indeed for that advice. Now, it is just 11 o'clock and we're going over to Brian Jennings in the newsroom.